Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Victory lane? Yeah, it's even better with Chumba by my side. Race to ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. CTNCs. 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Becker on Darren Donig and Chase here on this Thursday morning. ESPN 102.5 The Game. We say hello and good morning to Dan Wolkin from USA Today. Dan, how you doing?
Hey, I'm all right. How are you guys?
Well, we're show 20 from our home, so it's just like everybody else, right? Going through this together and doing things that we probably never thought we would do in our careers. How's it been on your end?
Yeah, about the same. Obviously, you know, it's getting old, I think, for everybody, but you have to do what you have to do. And, you know, for me, the month of March and April, we're going to be, you know, really fun. NCAA tournament, Masters. That's the time of year that in my business and what I do is you look forward to the most. But, you know, it was clear to me a few days before the conference tournaments that this thing was exploding in a way that was not going to likely allow life to go on as normal. And so, you know, you just make adjustments and you try to keep things interesting any way you can. As far as writing, it's been really busy. I mean, there's just been a lot of news, you know, a lot to report on, a lot of moving pieces, and everyone trying to figure out what's going to happen and what this is going to look like. So that's kind of consumed my time.
Yeah, and you're right. Yesterday was kind of like the first glimmer of hope, or at least the most realistic glimmer of hope, at least in our opinion. You know, PGA announcing they're coming back in the middle of June, or at least that's their target. MLS saying basically the same thing. We've heard dates before, Dan, but immediately dismissed them, at least on this show, going, yeah, that's nice, but that's not going to happen. Like, that will not happen at the end of April, or that will not happen at the beginning of May. We just knew it was going to be too soon. But this one yesterday felt different. Do you agree or disagree?
Well, I mean, in a sense, but golf is the easiest one to
sure.
Do. No doubt about it. And, you know, I think you could have made an argument for golf to find a way to have continued playing all this time, although I think maybe just in terms of the way that would look, I'm not sure that they would have wanted the backlash for that. But, yeah, like golf, I think, is definitely the easiest to make happen. You know, I don't know about the rest. I think there's definitely going to be some type of loosening of social distance rules in some places, and that will provide a template for how you bring this back. I just think there are a lot of unanswered questions with all of this and all the plans to try to bring back sports, even the so-called bubble quarantine plans. I think, you know, yeah, I mean, in theory, they sound great. When you start to actually drill down on the specifics of how they would work, I think it gets a little bit more complicated. But it's all going to depend on external factors. Like, that's the thing about this that I've just tried to be a little bit zen about in my mind is, you know, you can set dates and you can set targets, but you ultimately are at the mercy of the data and how this thing has spread and whether or not we feel like as a society we have this under control.
No doubt about it. You're right. Golf and Brant Snedeker, when he came on with us a couple weeks ago, I asked him who's going to be the first sport to announce they're coming back, and he said it would probably be his sport, and you're right. No doubt golf. I've even said on this show, we've talked about it, is NASCAR. They could be a sport you probably could bring back sooner rather than later as well. But you're right. Yeah. It gets more complicated when there's other sports, and that one of those other sports was yesterday. Huh? Vice President Mike Pence saying that he had a conference call with college football playoff management team and discussed, you know, what's going on and talking about, you know, college football this upcoming season and what does it mean if the students aren't on campus and that there's not going to be college football if they're not on campus. What do you make of how college football right now is trying to figure out how to make this work?
Yeah, realistically, nobody knows. People are just kind of throwing stuff against the wall in terms of hey, maybe we could make it look like this or delay it till then. Or there's all sorts of ideas, but nobody really has a grasp of any of this. And it is complicated because college football is tied to college, and we don't know what college is going to look like in August and September. It is very clear based on everyone I've talked to, and it emerged in the call with the vice president yesterday, that if colleges are still doing remote learning, virtual class, and campuses are not throwing open their doors, you can't really have a college football team on campus preparing for a season. That's really inconsistent with the idea that this is amateur athletics, and it just doesn't make logical sense to say it's not safe for students to be there, but it is safe for college athletes, college football players. That is not logically sound, and there's also a bunch of other factors that we have not really gotten our arms around. I mean, there's a whole mental side to this that it's not like people are going to come back to campus and just leave their family concerns behind. Those things are real. And, you've got to make sure that your kids, that your players are in a place where they can deal with that. So I don't know what that's going to mean. I tend to think it's 50-50 at best that college football starts on time. But I think it's more likely than not that there is a season in some form that starts at some date.
Talking to Dan Walken from USA Today, and we're talking about this crystal ball that none of us have. But Dan, it just under the umbrella of some of the ideas and possibilities that could happen or circumstances that could take things in a certain direction, I know you've talked to a lot of coaches about how much time they would need to prepare their team before they felt like it was safe to play a game. Tell us about that aspect, because that's a key part of the timetable.
Yeah, and it's something that nobody really has a great grasp of either. Some people have said they need 60 days. Some people have said a month. You hear people who've been associated with like Division III or Division II, where you don't really keep kids on campus all year round. They go home in the off season and they show up back on campus in August, and they do a month of training camp and then they play. I think there's issues and contingencies that make this a little bit different. One is nobody's working out the way they typically work out in the off season. Even for those Division II, Division III, guys go home, they're working out at their gyms. They are staying in optimal shape for the most part. Obviously, some aren't, and that's just a reality when you don't have total oversight of what your players are doing. But this is totally unlike anything anyone has had to deal with. Schools are doing their best to send players workouts and things they can do with body weight or resistance bands. They're sending them protein shakes. But nobody could realistically say that players are going to come back whenever that all clear is given. They're not going to come back and be in the same condition that they would be normally. So how much time do you need before you actually do a football training camp to just get them a baseline level of fitness and strength and nutrition that will allow them to do it safely without risk of injury? And it's just not an answer that there's a great scientific question to. I think what the consensus is going to end up being is around a 2 week or so, let's just call it a mini camp, followed by your regular camp. So, 6 weeks or so is going to be the number, but is that really safe? Is that really enough? It's just the best guess, and we won't know until you start to see the results to see if people are getting injured at a higher rate than normal.
Kirk Ferentz, head coach at Iowa, was on one of these conference calls, I guess it was yesterday or maybe 2 days ago, and he was asked about, if in a worst-case scenario, but in a scenario where you had to push it back all the way into 2021, if campuses just weren't ready to function and you didn't want to play unless you could have fans there, financial reasons, all of that stuff, safety reasons, could you play two seasons in the calendar year of 2021, winter, spring of 2021, and then come back in the fall after taking the summer off? He said plausibly you could. What are your thoughts on that?
Yeah, I think you could find a way to do it, and obviously you'd have to build in some different standards and rules. I think you'd have to limit practice time more than you typically do. You might want to think about allowing expanded rosters, guys who are maybe coming in early. Of course, you don't know if there's going to be high school football this fall either. That's an unanswered question. But, I think you could do it. Then push back maybe a month into the fall of 2021 when you'd start, just to give people a maximum amount of time to recover. It would require a lot of planning and logistics, but everyone's going to have to be nimble and think creatively about this if they want to have a football season, and they do because the financial implications are so crucial to all these athletic departments. So, yeah, I just think it's a matter of a willingness and flexibility to find solutions. I think the key is just, what does this look like at the end of May? That's the marker I'm looking at on the calendar, because you can only wait so long to make decisions about August 1st or September 1st. And I think the end of May is going to be really key for all these schools in figuring out which direction this is going to go.
Dan Wolkin is with us from USA Today. And Dan, we're basically living in a hypothetical world right now, and that's what all these questions are. So this one is no different. This is something I threw out to these guys via text yesterday, and we're going to talk about it a little bit later. But let's say that the NCAA comes out at some point in the next couple months, and they say, we're not going to be able to play our season when we usually would. And it's wide open of if they could get it in 2021, but there's just a lot of unknowns. The NFL comes out and says, we're going to play with no fans. Our season will go on as scheduled. What do you think then happens with a player like Trevor Lawrence, that he has one more year that he has to play before he would be eligible to go to the draft? Do you think that the conversation then begins that there are going to be players that could be granted a waiver to go on to the NFL, whether it's a supplemental draft or they're just free agents? I don't know. This is obviously unprecedented. But do you think that that becomes a conversation at some point?
For this fall, probably not. Just because you're going to have an NFL draft, you know, you're going to have people who have the roster size set. I'm not sure the NFL would want that, to be honest. I think the more interesting question is just, if you push the college football season into next year, do guys like Trevor Lawrence and the people at the top, does that incentivize or disincentivize them from playing? Or do they just say, maybe it's better if I just start preparing for the next draft? That to me is the more plausible dilemma that a lot of people are going to face if the college football season somehow got delayed till next year.
I think that's a very good point. So how detrimental would that be to college football if all of a sudden, and again, it's because you have two seasons that are going to be so close together, but does that change the thinking for players moving forward that, they might skip out?
Well, look, I think we're in a situation right now where, the best case scenarios for everything are just different than what they were before. So if the best case scenario is that you have college football, but maybe, 15 of the most high-profile players decide that they're not going to play because the season's too close to the draft, I think you take that. Because if the other alternative is you just don't have college football at all, that's a far worse outcome for everybody. So I just think it's all about, people being flexible, people understanding that at some point we'll get back to normal, but it may not be for a while. And if you want these sports to happen, we need to just kind of accept that it's not going to be ideal all the time.
The loaded of loaded questions to end this. What do you think our fall looks like sports-wise?
Yeah, I mean, to me, like, everything's just so week to week, month to month right now. You know, there's going to be certain things we're going to be able to do, certain things we probably won't be able to do. You know, I certainly hope that there's some type of medical breakthrough, a treatment, a therapeutic remedy that takes care of a lot of the problems. But I'm not sure that at least in the near term, that we can just kind of snap back to the same life we used to live. It's going to take a lot more time than that. I think, you know, opening up the country happens in stages, and I think sports is a part of that, but it's not the most important part. And I think there's going to have to be allowances. I think there's going to have to be recognition that you know, some things may be harder than others to put on. So I don't know. I think college football, I think the most likely thing is they decide they're going to delay it to October or something like that, and likely have, you know, try to play with no fans. I'm not sure that the difference is big enough between like an October versus January that it makes a big difference, but we're all just guessing at this point.
Sure. Yeah. Well, it gives us something to talk about. We got to talk for 4 hours a day, Dan. This is what our life is.
Yeah. Yeah, everyone's doing the best they can.
Oh, hey, appreciate the visit as always. Be safe. Continue to be safe, and we'll talk to you down the road.
All right, thanks, guys. Good luck.
All right, Dan Wolkin from USA Today. We'll come back and discuss some things you heard there next on ESPN 102.5 The Game.
Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm going to make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you want to get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.